Welcome to the Jumpstart Podcast. I'm Dan Mateer here with Brent Colby, and this is September 2012 episode of the Jumpstart Podcast.
Dan, how's it going?
Good, Brent. I'm excited about today.
Is it because your kids went back to school yet, or what?
My kids did go back to school. Well, one of them. I have a third grader now. That was super weird.
Oh, yeah.
I walked her to school, and I realized I didn't really have to be walking her to school. She totally could have taken care of that on her own.
Nice.
I have a kindergartner that starts next week, and in a couple of months, my youngest, my 2.5-year-old, is going to do a 2-day-a-week preschool class. I'm going to have 3 kids all in school.
What are you going to do with yourself with 3 kids gone all day?
Well, I'm going to go to work like normal, but it'll be different from my wife for sure.
Yeah.
What about you? Is that part of the Colby household?
Not yet. My daughter's 2, not going to school anywhere quite yet, but we are potty training, so yeah. That's exciting. A little messier than going to school, I would imagine.
Yes.
And we have a son who's 4 months old. He's doing quite well. She loves taking care of him.
That's
so
cute.
Yeah, it's cute, and that could also be messy. She tries to feed him stuff and play with his toys. She throws stuff at him a lot. I think she's trying to play catch. I give her the benefit of the doubt. But
that's good.
It's been fun. We've just been enjoying everything, and they're lots of fun right now.
Good. Well, hey, speaking of families, we're going to jump into an exciting topic today. Maybe a controversial topic. Did children's ministry fall victim to family ministry? Did the family pastor kill the children's pastor?
It's a whodunit of family ministry in your church.
Yeah.
Because some would contend, Dan, I'm not saying this, but some might say children's ministries is either dead or dying.
Or dying.
Soon to be replaced by the more nimble, more awesomer. I'm trying to
more
think of
awesomer. We'll get into it here in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a raw conversation, though. I can't wait.
Yeah, let's get started. All right. So, Dan, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Is family ministries taking over the role of children's ministries?
Well, nobody can contest that family ministry is an up-and-coming trend. You look at the Orange Movement with Reggie Joyner, and that, you know, he's got books and materials. That's really taken a big leap forward. Michelle Anthony with Spiritual Parenting, one of the leaders in children's curriculum, really speaking to parents. George Barna wrote a book, Transforming Your Children into Spiritual Champions, really changing the focus of children's ministry onto family ministry.
So if I'm a children's pastor, do I need to talk to my pastor and change my job description? I mean, what's a family pastor? What's the difference?
Well, that's a good question. But look around. We see that all the time. And I think probably a lot of our listeners maybe have made that change. Children's pastor to family life pastor. I don't know if you know this. Currently, I'm childless children's pastor, but a few years ago at my church, I transitioned from children's pastor to family life.
It was you. You're responsible. You did this.
I did this. You know, part of it, I think there's got to be motivation here that, I want to be careful how I say this. There's sometimes less than a noble association with the title children's pastor.
That was very, very political of you. What you're saying is some people think children's ministries is lame and to be a kid's pastor is lame.
No, I think they like children's ministry. I think they think family life pastor looks better on a resume, especially if you want to transition into another kind of ministry.
I could see that. You know, there is a perception of the children's pastor does puppets and masters in glue sticks and popsicle sticks and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a cultural thing that I think all of us involved in children's ministries are constantly pushing back on. And the title family pastor, you may get a little less of that tension with your average person just in your church.
Right.
But still, what would make it different enough that you would call someone a family pastor instead of a children's pastor?
Yeah. In other words, is it justified? Do you really need to change the title? And if you do, what's the difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
At my church, what led into it? It was a smaller church, and as part of my job description, a small part, because I was a young married pastor. My wife and I were in our mid-20s, late-20s. We helped to organize young married events, and it just was life stage for us. And my pastor said, hey, you're not just doing children's ministry, you're doing young married's ministry. So part of it was real open, kind of an excuse for my pastor to be able to load other responsibilities onto my plate. Not that I was didn't want that. It was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you change that, then the pastor does have the open door to say, hey, you're also going to be doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. But when you talk about family, I mean, that's everything. That's the whole church.
That's
so you could be doing, you know, like the Dave Ramsey seminar, marriage stuff. You could be doing counseling pretty soon. You could be doing, I mean, there's nothing that your church does that's not associated with the family.
Yeah. In other words, your youth pastor is a family pastor, your group's pastor is a family pastor, even the senior pastor is, in essence, a family pastor of many, many families of different kinds.
Yeah, you know, I felt this tension too. There was a part of my time in children's ministries where I thought about proposing we would change the title to Family Ministries.
Sure.
And I think we had just completed a type of marriage seminar or something. But I was sitting there in the middle of the seminar, and you know, we had some great couples and a good team leading it. And I kind of thought, what's my role here? Like, what am I doing? And do I need to follow up with this? And even maybe a more condemning question is, do I integrate any of this family stuff into the Sunday experience? Or have I created kind of separate containers? Like, this is just kids ministries, and this is just ministries now for mom and dad. And what's that overlap? What's that intersection look like between children's and maybe adult or parents or whatever you want to call it, family ministry?
That's good. I think one thing that the publications, the books that have been written in children's ministry over the last few years have done well is pointing out the fact that the church cannot be an island in raising kids up in spiritual leaders, in spiritual mature disciples. That has to be done at home. And over we see that reinforced. It has to be done at home. And I think we'd all agree with that. But the question remains, what does this paid staff, this children's pastor who is now the family pastor, what do they do different? Do they just expect that parents are to be doing this? Do they just encourage that? Or is there real feet on the ground work to be done for that?
Yeah, I think of some easy things that probably we've all done at some extent. The take-home memory verse.
Yep.
Parent, sign this if your kid can recite this verse.
The Bible bookmark. Read these verses this week with your kid. And those are good things, but we laugh because super simple.
Yeah.
Overly simple, in fact.
So a second ago, you referenced Reggie Joyner and the Orange Movement.
Yeah.
I have one of his guidebooks right here. And when I think of what it would look like to integrate family ministry into your children's ministry, he has a whole section on creating a compelling vision for the families of your church. I'm just going to read it real quick. He said, "Parents can't partner with you unless they understand what you want them to see. You need to be able to stand in front of parents with a common language on whatever platform and explain easily where you're going and where, together, you're taking their children and students." And I wonder how many of the families, the parents in our church, have any clue about where we're taking their kids weekend to weekend, midweek to midweek. Do they know what our major objectives are at the end of, you know, when they pick them up after church?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I know that I had the opportunity to speak to our adult church and preach the sermon, in essence, a couple of years ago. And my pastor said, hey, you know what? I don't really know. I don't have a topic for you, but just go with the children's pastor. Talk about children's ministry. So I talked about this kind of idea that our parents need to be taking a part, our families need to be taking part, thinking in my head, This is good reinforcement, but I remember having so many families and parents come up to me saying, "Well, I never thought about it in that context." And my premise was, if you want your kid to be a good soccer player, you start them with soccer training when they're 3 years old. If you want them to be a mature disciple, you start to invest in that early.
Yeah.
I was amazed at how many people that was a new concept for.
Right. Yeah, I think we take a lot for granted because this is what we do. This is who we are. We're about children's ministries, but for a lot of people, it's they drop the kids off and they don't think about it until they pick them up.
Right.
And what they're not thinking about is what they learned today. They're thinking about how we're going to get them home and get them something to eat. And, you know, like, did my daughter hit any other children with a hammer today?
Hey.
In fact, my daughter...
This sounds familiar.
Yeah, my daughter Adelaide had a chance to visit Pastor Dan at his church the other day. And the report we got when we picked her up was that she struck another child with a hammer. I think it was a plastic hammer.
A toy hammer, presumably.
But it begs the question, Dan, how many other weapons do you have the kids playing with?
We're doing an assessment in our nursery currently, a weapons inventory. We'll be removing those. I apologize. But back on a more relevant topic here, I think it's a great question. What does a children's pastor do to promote family ministry? And I'm in the midst of this right now. I had some parents come up to me and say, we need help. We need help in parenting ministry. We need help not just in teaching our kids the Bible, but in being good parents. How can the church provide assistance here? And I was amazed at how few answers I had.
Right.
So what the answer we came to is we're doing a one-night parenting seminar at the end of the month, first of all, for lack of a better solution, and secondly, to get a whole bunch of parents who care about parenting in the room together to be able to spark some ideas.
Yeah, yeah. I think a challenge, too, this is one of those things that you can't do for someone. You know, like,
yeah.
It's you can't have the kid in and create a family connection on Sunday morning with the kid.
No.
It's something that has to go home.
But that leaves us caught in the middle a little bit, because we've just said we can't do nothing because the parents are not going to do it on their own, but we can't do it for them. This is a difficult task.
It is. And I think part of it has to be part of a greater vision of your church.
Mm.
If you're out by yourself, you're pushing the family thing, you're wanting to make these connections, you're desperately trying to make this happen, and you get no one else backing you up, it's going to be really, really difficult for you, for the people listening to your pastors teach weekend in and weekend out. It's going to be difficult for them to make that connection.
Yeah.
And they're only going to come to so many parenting seminars over the course of a year. And that's going to be a tall order to build that culture on the back of one or two, three, maybe four different meetings throughout the year.
Yeah. One of the things that came out of the conversations that we had at our church about parenting ministry is that we wanted to, in essence, accomplish somewhat of what a marriage seminar would be. And,
yeah.
And as you've probably been to these marriage seminars before, you go to these marriage seminars, and it's nothing too revolutionary, but what it does is it turns the attention of the husband and the wife toward their marriage, which is not something you would do every day.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do the same thing for parents, to turn the attention of mom and dad toward their parenting. And whether or not we have anything revolutionary to say, to do that accomplishes a lot.
Yeah, that is a big deal. And yeah, that is a big deal. It's tough to think of different ways to do this. There's a seminar, right? That's an easy way. Come on in on a weekend and we're going to do something fun together. But
yeah.
I mean, what else would you do? What are some other ways that maybe you've heard of different churches integrating something like this into their ministry?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we hope that's going to come out of our seminar is home groups, life groups, small groups, whatever you call them. I know from personal experience, we do life groups at our church, and my wife and I always host a group, and we will have, honestly, this is always the case, we'll have 10 adults and 16 kids at the group, because it's the stage of life we're in.
Yeah.
If you have more kids in your family than there are adults, it's an out of balance. And the other thing is, nobody wants you in their group if you have four kids. Right? The empty nesters do not want you to come to their group, so they end up coming to ours.
Those are dangerous ratios, too. Yeah. 16
yeah.
kids on 10 adults. Like, they realize what was going on. They could take over pretty easily.
And the other thing is, we have strategized that we don't even hire a babysitter. Because if you hire a babysitter, it's the kids against the babysitter. We free-range them, let them solve their own problems. But that's a little bit beside the point.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what a free-range childcare looks like. But...
We just shut the door and it's clean up later.
Okay.
But you know, we rarely deal with parenting ministry, but in that context, getting a lot of people in the same room who deal with parenting to turn the attention of the group toward parenting. And again, it's not something that the children's pastor, the family life pastor can come into every group and do, but by casting the vision for it, say, there's a need for this. There's a need, both a felt need and a need in spiritual growth. Please lead a parenting group. If you're going to lead a small group and you have young kids or teenage kids, lead a group where you can talk together and grow together about parenting. Because that's really what the church is, right?
Yeah.
We have a pastor who preaches on Sunday morning, but the church can't be just that. It's people encouraging one another. It's the body working together. And it's the same thing segmented in parenting ministry.
Yeah, that's cool. I think perhaps another more direct approach would be something I love that happens periodically on Sunday, and that is a parent just wants to come and watch.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not that plugged in. Maybe they're not that big into your ministry. Maybe they're new and they just want to check it out. I love it when parents are there sitting with their kids, just observing everything. So you follow up with them every single Sunday and just let them know, like, hey, what'd you think? What's going on? And almost every single time they're like, I'm amazed. I didn't know you guys were doing all this fun stuff. Almost always they're encouraged and amazed. And I just love that. That's something that I wish we could get parents in there on a regular basis. Of course, you want them to serve and volunteer and to, you know, to do stuff. But just to be there, to spend time with their kids, that has to mean so much to their children and so much to them to know of the care and the education and all the work that you're going through to just raise up, to help raise up the kids.
Yeah. I think that speaks to the crux of the original question that we had. If you imagine two circles, on one you have children's ministry at church and one family parenting ministry, where do those intersect? And I think that's really where we can do the best work and do the most effectiveness. Where do those two things intersect? If you can get mom and dad in the kids' learning environment, there are conversations that come out of that. I see it with my own daughter. As she comes into the environment where I teach, we have conversations that go far beyond what I taught because she's been thinking and processing. And it's exciting to see. And I want that for every parent. And getting them in the room is a great way to encourage family ministry, for sure.
Yeah. I think the last day of our vacation Bible school, we had like a Friday night celebration night. You have moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, and the kids come up and they do something cute and kind of highlight throughout the week what you've been learning. But that is like the biggest win I've had all year long, is when the family can sit down and just soak in what we've been doing, share in the experience that we have created for their kids. Absolutely. And even though it's 60 minutes or 90 minutes on one night, it is the one time a year where I get to leave a huge impression on the parents and just impart how important this is and how much... and probably a sense of how much there's still to go. You know, they realize the scope of what we can accomplish in a week, but that's just scratching the surface when you think about the spiritual formation of a child.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I think about it and that speaks to, if you speak to any parent, you probably see this a lot with young kids. You have these parents whose kids have just left and they all say the same thing. It goes so quick. It goes, you got to cherish it. It goes so quick. But it's absolutely true. I think that part of what we can do as family ministry pastors or children's pastors is to communicate to parents. Every day matters at this point. We can't surrender an hour because these kids are growing. And you're going to turn around, look, and say, oh, they're out of the house. They're off to college. And at that point, that growth period is over. Not that we can't speak into their lives anymore, but the golden years are done. And I'm not trying to be sappy and nostalgic here, but just strategic. And I think that one thing we can do is sound the alarm saying, this is so important. That book that we referenced earlier, George Barna's Transforming Your Children into Spiritual Champions, one of the really key things that come out of there is the statistics and the research he'd done that talks about how 90% of a person's ethical worldview, their definition of right and wrong, is set by the time they turn 13. That's not going
to
change after
that. It's amazing to think that it's that important, it's that influential. Like the stuff that we do now is helping form these kids. I love the experience on a Sunday morning when you get to tell a kid a Bible story for the first time. To see their eyes light up and forever, something about that first impression of the character of God, of who Jesus is and how much he loves you, to impart that for the first time, that's so important. I think so many times we can take for granted the telling of David and Goliath and how God did this miracle through this faithful shepherd. And I just think it's so amazing to think that this is... It's now. It's a big deal. And I think if parents could see the same thing, you know, if we could find creative ways to express that same importance to parents, like, this is it. Like, you're doing it. It's happening now. You don't get to hit pause, create a plan, and come back to it. It's happening. With my kids, it's happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's challenging. That's convicting for me as a dad to be thoughtful about the environments I put my daughter in, the shows that we watch, the time we spend together, the songs that we sing. Mm-hmm. Every single one of those things is going to impress upon her something about the church, something about who God is. And I want to make sure that I'm making wise decisions when I'm going into those things.
One of the things that comes with just the nature of parenting that I'm finding out more and more day by day is that it's always new. And it gets to be a little scary. As prepared as you are, and I've been in children's ministry for 13 years. I've worked with kids for 13 years. But I have an 8-year-old at home. And she deals with challenges that I'm not prepared to face because I've never faced them before, right? It's not just about finish your dinner and go to bed on time. She's still only 8 years old, but wanting to read books that have to do with girls having boyfriends. And we're looking at this going, uh-oh. What do we do? And we're panicking, yeah. Right? And I think to have a voice, a constant voice in the life of a parent who can say, these are challenges that are going to be dealt with. You know, this, your kid comes home and learned to swear at school. How can you deal with that? Your daughter has a boyfriend or even a crush at school. How do I deal with that? Because parents, we're panicked most of the time. I don't know if you find yourself in this. Your kids reach new milestones, and you think it's cute, but at the same time, it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. You know, one takeaway I'm kind of picking up from this conversation, as a children's pastor, I think we may be able to agree that the worst thing we can do is nothing. The worst thing that your church can do is pretend that this is not a thing. And I think it may be more appropriate than calling it a family ministry is like a parenting ministry. Yeah. It's that parent-child relationship is what you're really zeroing in on. And I think that your church has to have a strategy to do something. And if it comes from you, the children's pastor, or there could be many other people in your church who have a better voice to speak to that. Maybe it's a couple in your church, a mom and dad who have experience, they've raised kids. We had a couple like that at one church we served in. They were core members of the team that hosted that parenting seminar, and they had raised wonderful kids. They were foster parents, and they had adopted kids. They just knew they had a God-given gift to parent. And I wanted them up front. I didn't want to be up front. I was relatively newly married. We had a little infant. I wasn't going to stand up in front of a bunch of parents and tell them what to do. Yeah. And so I think, you know, when you think about the role of a family pastor or a parent-to-kid pastor, you got to give the right person the microphone because that's going to be crucial for the people in your church to have that good experience right from the get-go.
Yeah. I wonder what some of our listeners who are that family life pastor are doing. And I'd love to hear from you listeners. Email us at cmjumpstart@gmail.com.
At what?
Cmjumpstart.
Jumpstart.
At gmail.com. You got that?
Got that.
You should have written that down by now.
Oh, yeah.
And tell us some fresh ideas that you're doing, because I would hope if you ordered a new placard for your door, you should have some fresh ideas.
Yeah, you can't just be the super duper family pastor. That's a good title, actually. I think I might.
Super duper family. Then you have to have some real ideas. You better email us some good ideas if you're going to have super duper family pastors.
So shoot us what you think. We'd love to hear from you guys. Some experiences you've had, for good or for bad, share it, and we could all benefit from it. But for us,
yeah,
that's the end. Dan?
Yeah. Join us again next month. We'll have another exciting topic. Thanks for your time. And don't forget, if you have questions, comments, insights, cmjumpstart@gmail.com.
.com.